Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voto Radio, our first show live on the air, on the internet. You're listening to Voices of the Omniverse, and I am Todd Ronan, and I'm joined with my co-host,
Tracy Lee, psychic surgeon and distance healer. Good evening, Todd. How are you?
I am good. Thank you. We nearly had technical difficulties, and this thing nearly didn't get off the air, but we overcame them, and here we are. It's very exciting. I'm super excited to do this first show with you.
Yeah, so Todd, let's tell everybody a little bit about ourselves, and then we'll go ahead and introduce the show and the topic, and we'll get everything rolling. I guess I'll go first, ladies first. Guys, Todd is a remote viewer, known Todd for about 6 months. He has read pretty much everything ever written about every topic and is a walking history reference guide / Wikipedia / spiritual manual. So he'll be coming at you with the facts and history of what others have said, and trust me when I say that the book is thick, and he's done remote viewing, and I've seen his results and went through his work, and a lot of it's been super accurate and has surprised me, because before I knew Todd, I didn't even know what remote viewing was, and I guess we'll get into more as the show progresses, but Todd, why don't you tell him?
That is very kind of you. Thank you. I have not read everything. I've just read some things, and I read really quickly. So if you put like a 1,500-page book in me, I can tell you what it says by the end of the day. So that's the kind of thing that I read quickly. But thank you. That was very kind of you. I want to tell people a little bit about what Tracy Lee does. She is sort of amazing in a way that is just hard to describe. I first met her under very strange circumstances. It was an event where there were lots of ETs floating around, and she was able to see these things where other people weren't. She has this like 5D goggle perception. And so I hope that Tracy's going to share some of the things that she does see. And she's also a surgeon and a healer. So she's spent probably the last few years of her life trying to go out of her way to help people where traditional medicine can't and where traditional medicine fails. So she is amazing. I could tell you the stories about how she helped me, but we're going to get to that in a later show.
Well, make sure, Todd, people know, too, I'm not an MD surgeon, so I don't have any scalpel or knives or anything. But I do have a celestial team of awesomeness made up of ascended masters and archangels and extraterrestrials and spirit animals that fly with me all over the world. And we heal everything from tinnitus to cancer to, bone fractures and damaged nerves and emotional distress. So, yes, I definitely have a different angle than Todd does. I really don't have the time, patience to read much. So many of my views are based on my personal experiences and the information that's been downloaded to my brain via the universe. I don't really have any gurus or masters or mentors anymore. The training comes from my imaginary friends, as some people would call them. So hopefully we'll provide a great balance for you guys.
That's a great explanation of it, too. Yeah, I don't think that they're imaginary, though. I think that they're just things that we can't see. So they're kind of beyond the veil. I wanted to tell people a little bit about the Voices of the Omniverse, our new show starting tonight and now every Friday. It's the kind of thing that you're not going to hear anywhere else on the Internet. It's not like your Coast to Christ AM. It's not like your old grandfather's Art Bell. We're going to tackle things that just don't come up on other shows because, well, it's the Omniverse, right?
You know,
I'm getting some feedback on Tracy. I don't know what's wrong with your connection there, but you're getting like garbled up.
All the possibility, all the infinite wisdom, person and soul and entity can travel at any given second.
Oh, there we go. I don't know how much people got that because I was hearing some garbled noise on your end. So something, again, is interfering with our electronics in a way that they don't want the people out there to hear what it is that we're saying. And just to recap really quick, what you said is that the Omniverse encompasses every single universe out there, every different timeline, all of the multiverses. It's just we're going to go in places that other shows really don't dare to travel.
And the other thing I want to bring up from the forefront, too, is that there will be no half-truths shared on our show. Hopefully a good friend of mine who's listening right now taught me a long time ago that a half-truth is still a lie. So when partial information is disclosed to you, it's said in a way that's meant to be destructive and harmful. So we will do the best to our ability to share the full truth as we know them, perceive them, and have learned them for ourselves over the years.
Yeah, and also what we find with our hearts and what we find through remote viewing and what you find through these 5D goggles, the truth that we've learned, and we want to hear your feedback too. We want to have this resonate with you and want to learn about your truths too. We'll talk more about how to do that later. But today's show, our introductory show, is a pretty exciting topic. We're going to talk about the great, what Tracy has coined, the Nopocalypse of 2015.
Right. So the Nopocalypse of 2015, basically for the last, I guess, since 2015 began, all we've been seeing on the Internet is there's a giant asteroid headed towards Earth, and the Pope is coming. He's going to announce a new world order, and Barack Obama is going to take over Texas and Jade Helm, and you know, martial law will be ensuing after that. There's going to be solar flares. And even now, over the last couple of days, I've seen more warnings about asteroids that are going to be flying by and whatnot. So there's been
there's another meteorite coming. We just survived the last apocalypse. My friend Yana, who's listening now, said, you know, if you survive 10 apocalypses, you get the 11th one free. And I think that we just sort of missed it, right?
Yeah. Hopefully we missed it, and hopefully there's not one coming right at us. But one thing I can tell you guys is if it does come, we're not going to feel much.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. We're going to talk about the September 2015 fear-mongering, the Yellow Rose of Texas, the David Will Shilcox for food, the Royal Poople visit, and the Blood Red Supermoon, and you know, just other meteoric impact events and end-of-the-world scenarios. I think that covers everything that's going to happen in 2015, right?
Yeah, I think Todd just said the Royal Poople visit. Did you just call the Pope the Royal Poop?
Yeah, so, you know, people went sort of in a media frenzy that the Pope was coming to visit the United States, but Pope John Paul II visited, like, here 12 times, I think, and when his 20-year reign as Royal Poopiff. It just seems like there's too much media frenzy about somebody that really doesn't matter. If I wore a funny hat and walked around and blessed people, I don't think I'd get that much media attention.
Well, the funny thing about the Pope, right, is because he's blessed by the church and he's viewed as the head of the Vatican, people listen to what he says. So, you know, in global politics and in the global scale, you know, he's looked at as someone who's respectable. So when he opens his mouth and says, this is what has to be, people say, oh, it must be this. It's like a mass brainwashing almost. The Lord opens his mouth and everybody turns their head and nods. But people need to be aware, but this also can be used as a tool for, you know, for affecting your behavior, your beliefs, you know, your system of just how you believe and go about your life. So that's one of the things we also want to get into tonight.
So would you say that because the Pope is, I don't know if I can say this, but because the Pope gets on his knees first in line with God, that he is the closest to the Jesus Christ's blowjob, or is that too offensive for me to say on our first show?
Well, luckily, Todd, I did change the rating of the show from PG-13 to R. So
fantastic.
Isn't that awesome? I think that means we can say shit, too.
We'll say a lot of shit on this show that people aren't going to agree with, and we're going to say shit quite a bit.
That's quite right. So Todd, what do we want to talk about first? The Pope, the blood moon,
well, yeah,
the
so
asteroid?
Jade Helm was here in Texas, and according to the internet, Jade Helm was going to be a FEMA camp roundup where everybody that lived in the Georgetown proper area was going to be arrested, their guns were going to be taken away, their grandmothers were going to be shot, and they're going to be placed in FEMA coffins and taken to somewhere in North Carolina.
Right. So I read the reports about how, you know, FEMA was hoarding guns and ammunition and all this type of thing, and even that they were ordering body bags and stacking up body bags, and it made people think that for some reason lots of people were going to die. And from my perspective as a spiritualist, what this looks like is, you know, somebody somewhere has a kind of grand scheme going that, you know, when you make the public afraid and anxious and scared, it makes this nervous energy. And one of the things that I'm able to see with my weird vision and sight in this strange gift that I guess I'll help to expose over the course of the weeks is that when people are scared and anxious and worried about things, it sets off an energy beacon. It actually attaches to their brain. And this energy beacon calls out multidimensional entities and things from different places, multiverses, dimensions that come here to kind of attach to you and to cause mischief and harm, and in many cases, physical illness. So people need to be aware of the fact that their brains are being manipulated in a way to where when they're scared, they're welcoming harm. And if people would learn to live in a love state and calm and live in the moment, eventually these things would just go away. But because people give these prophecies so much credence, and they share it and they put it on Facebook and social media, it gains traction. And the more traction it gains, it becomes like this, you know, avalanche. And somebody sitting in a room who made that stuff up somewhere is just laughing like Dr. Evil, like, ha, 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 look what I've done. Everybody's scared. And of course, like I said, the fear attracts all the negativity. So, you know, people are really doing this to themselves. It's kind of funny to watch.
Do you think it's
actually
time for me to expose what I have learned with the whole Jade Helm event through remote viewing and what that event was? Do you think
sure.
people are ready for that? Okay, so what we found when we did a session on Jade Helm was that it wasn't really this, oh, actually there was a spaceship that was in the sky. It was a big black cube, and people thought, oh, this is part of the Jade Helm event. And actually it was. It was a recording device that was sort of being processed by an artificial intelligence to just do better planning with war scenarios. So that was really the whole thing about Jade Helm. There wasn't going to be any people round up. They were just trying to make their artificial intelligence computers smarter. So it was just kind of like a big war game scenario. And that was really what they said it was. That's kind of what the truth was, except for the giant big black cube in the sky.
That big black cube thing that we all saw on the internet for how many weeks that everybody was so scared about. And one thing that I want to bring up that's interesting why Todd and I decided to do this show together is that you know, his what he's found through remote viewing, which is a highly technical, spiritual, supernatural process, and what I see through my gift of multidimensional vision, oftentimes it really lines up, and we've had so many of these moments of like, wow, I see that, but you found it through this weird process that you do, which I really, guys, I don't really understand what remote viewing is or what Todd does, but I know that when he says something and I say something and we get it from a different place and it matches up, that you know, that definitely is a synchronicity that shouldn't be dismissed.
That happens a lot. And I think
anyone
that's listened to other TV shows or other radio shows and learned about other remote viewers, they know that some of them are good, some of them are bad. I have been doing the practice probably for the last 13 years. I practice a couple times a week. I'm still doing sessions. People pay me for sessions. So it's something that is part of my life, and it's something that I've found that as I dedicate more time to, I get more data, more accurate data. And then when I show this stuff to you, after I explain it to you and go through the meticulous steps, you sometimes agree with me and you say, I kind of see the same thing.
I do. And I like what you said about using it as a war game, because that's really what it is. And the way that Todd refers to these things in the sky as artificial intelligence, I'm able to see the same thing. There are multidimensional entities that take on life forms, maybe not carbon life forms as we have here on Earth, but different life forms. But then there's also artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence, the way I refer to that is kind of energy programmed entities that come based on beacons that are set off at different places in time and space. And would you agree with that, Todd? As artificial
intelligence, there are a lot of different ways to interpret AI, and I have encountered many different beings of many different creatures and many different species who have, it's kind of the natural evolution of how you grow as a species. When you have that technology, you're going to go ahead and say, let's make something that we don't have to do this menial labor job. So AIs are not only out there, but they're quite ubiquitous, at least in our local galactic group.
Ubiquitous, that's my favorite word. Did you do that on purpose?
So there was a fourth blood red moon this year too. This September, it was a super moon, and the fourth blood red moon, that was also very scary for people that I guess still think that the moon is eaten by goats when it gets there's an eclipse.
Yeah, so let me respond to something that happened during the blood moon. And just so you guys know, I went into the blood moon with an open mind because I read a lot of stuff online about, you know, during the blood moon, there's going to be this mass ascension into 5D and that this massive shift is going to occur. And all the hippy-dippy people were talking about, you know, open your mind and your heart and you will ascend into a higher dimension. And then, you know, the really dark side of people were saying that all this terrible stuff is going to happen. The world's going to end. So you've got the light people, for lack of a better word, you know, looking to ascend into a higher dimension, and then the dark, pessimistic side saying that everybody was going to die in this cataclysmic scenario. So I went into it kind of neutral, not knowing what to expect. But here's what disturbs me a little bit, is here's what I saw. I saw during the night of the blood moon an opening of kind of a portal or a vortex, and a lot of this darker artificial intelligence that we were talking about has slipped into our atmosphere, and it's looking around and it's looking for places to attach to because it's been summoned here by those beacons that I was referring to, energetic beacons I was referring to earlier, that are set off by negativity and fear and anxiety. So it should be no surprise that they came here. But here's what the disturbing part is, Todd.
Disturbing.
No, that's only the beginning. Here's the disturbing part. There's a lot of people now that are looking into what it means to be awake and enlightened and all this wonderful stuff, and they're connecting with different entities and dimensions and spirits and whatnot, and what they don't realize is that so many of these entities they're connecting with are deceptive, and they can fool them. They can assume different forms. So there's people that are saying, wow, I'm having these experiences. What they're experiencing is a deceptive entity pretending to be something that it's not. So if you're a newly awakened soul and you're listening to this, please be careful about what you interact with and what you trust. You know, listen to your heart, come from a place of love, and ask questions. Put yourself out there and see what people are saying and educate yourself. And just be careful because it's a perfect all you people opportunity for to find there and take advantage of newly enlightened souls. Would you agree with that, Todd?
I would agree with most of what you said. The last part I didn't hear, it got garbled up. But also what I want people to know is that I've looked at some of these alleged oversouls and these alleged great teachers that we've had on Earth throughout history. And what you find when you look at it through remote viewing is you see that these are just artificial intelligences. They're not physical beings anymore. They've just set this system up so that it radiates with the people that connect to it, and people are just getting repeating messages. So it's almost like a beacon that was set up a long time ago, hundreds of thousands of years ago, that's an ancient technology, and people sort of still worship this, even in today's world. But we'll uncover more of what those ideas are and those concepts of artificial intelligence via a god in future shows, but it's a lot of AI out there, and people are radiating with it.
Right, there is a lot of AI, and more people every day are tuning into this artificial intelligence via, you know, these beings that are presenting themselves as so godlike and holy and almost Jesus-like. You know, sorry to say that, but it's kind of true, you know. And like I said, people, be careful what you attach yourself to. And I can tell you from experience that the nice entities and the nice spirits, they never want anything in return. They don't want to be worshipped, and they never make you promises of grandeur, you know, that are put off until tomorrow. So beware of some of the telltale signs. But that blood moon was a big trick, though. I like it a lot. Very, very smart, but you can't outsmart the smartest.
how do you think that these ideas of, like, being an oversoul, being a creator, being a religious, like, archetype, infest themselves in people so much? Like, how does that gain traction in people's psyche?
So here's what happens. You know, a lot of times people have emotional issues, or they have trauma, or they have something bad that's happened to them. And when they have trauma, what happens is it's kind of a spiritual void inside their physical body. And when these spiritual voids or these traumas happen, it sets off, like I was saying earlier, these energetic beacons and almost can form lesions physically on people's brains, which, by the way, don't always show up on MRIs, in case you're wondering. And that's a great topic for later. So people start to feed off this, the void where there should be love and happiness and contentment and satisfaction starts to be fed by curiosity and anxiety and greed for information, and then the desire to connect with something further, which oftentimes it's like this artificial intelligence fills a void of where there should be, you know, love and something else wonderful going on. So it really kind of feeds off of needy people, which is very sad, if you ask me.
Yeah,
so,
I find that when I go into, like, religious organizations, people that are trying to get money from me, you know, for religious tithings, it sort of turns my stomach, and I kind of feel sad for the people. But I don't really have any religious leanings, and I never have, but maybe that's why I'm just sort of indifferent to the whole idea of religion.
Right. So like you said, how do these ideas gain traction? So somebody somewhere is sitting behind a computer and says, wouldn't it be funny if we thought there was an asteroid coming on September 23rd? So they make the article, they put a scary picture on it, they share it on Facebook, and then it gets 2 shares, 4 shares, 8 shares, 64 shares. And before you know it, you know, all of social media is saying that the world is going to end. Well, imagine all of the negativity and fear and anxiety that's associated with so many people worrying about one date and one event. You know, what they're hoping is that eventually so many people will be so scared that it will literally, I'm not supposed to say literally, supposedly the definition of literally has changed, but that the manifestation of all of these emotions will manifest an event, a cataclysmic event to happen. And it seems plausible as well, you know.
Well, there's a lot of people out there, and there's a lot of crazy ideas. I clicked like and I clicked share on a few different things. I think it was the one with the 245 moons appearing in the sky, and that one didn't come true yet. So maybe it just needs more likes before it'll come true. I wanted to talk about, you mentioned a little bit, but the veil of things that exist beyond sort of our atmosphere. A lot of people always talk about, you know, UFOs, and I've been studying UFOs for like 40 years, 30 years. I don't know how old anymore. But it seems like all these things that I've read about, it never gives you the whole truth. It always gives you just sort of a here's one view of a spaceship that landed in Montana and, you know, made a hole in a guy's cornfield.
Right.
It's really
so
out
I'm glad
there.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, too, because for me, looking into the sky and into the atmosphere and beyond, and even when I close my eyes, it's a little bit like, you know, driving your car down the highway, right? Like, you might see, like, oh, there's, like, a Maserati, or, you know, there's a BMW, but you always know what every single car is that drives by, and much more, you don't know every single person in every single automobile. But if you do happen to see somebody that you know, you stop, you honk your horn, and you say hello. But that doesn't mean you stop and you acknowledge every single car and person that you see driving by. You know, the atmosphere in the UFOs is the same. There's no way to talk to everybody. You just kind of make relationships with what you like. And, you know, as one flies by that you like, you kind of honk and you say, hey, what's going on? And then they come to visit you more often and you form a friendship. But, the space highway is very similar to the physical highway in that regard, that there's just no way to know everything that's out there. It's too much.
I've done a lot of research on, like, reading books and stuff about UFOs and aliens and ETs, and then when I started doing remote viewing stuff, it actually turned the tide for me, because I was able to see, not really see, but analyze and determine firsthand, like, what's really out there. So I've got data on a number of different extraterrestrial species that don't necessarily even live in our local galactic group, but live hundreds of millions of light years away, and I can tell you about them and what they do and what their technology is, because that's the kind of things that you can uncover with RV.
Right. And speaking of extraterrestrials that are in the sky and whatnot, and I know we need to take a break here in a few minutes, but, you know, I wanted to offer people a little bit of hope using my 5D vision and what I see going on in the sky. So people are so worried about all these terrible things that are going to happen, such as the asteroid coming, you know, alien invasion, all of this wonderful stuff. What I see happening in the atmosphere, and I can give a specific example, is I guess we call them the race or the people or the residents or whatever from Sirius B, the star system Sirius B, are actually here in the atmosphere of the Earth. And on a daily basis, they're constructing things in the atmosphere and working to negate the effects of chemtrails and other stuff that the government...
I did a session on Sirians. I did an RV session on Sirians. Yeah. It was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. A friend of mine in California said, hey, do this target. And I got some data. And actually, I sketched some stuff that kind of looks like what you're talking about. Maybe we should share that with people. There are these things that are up in the sky, and they look like Pac-Man things. It's almost like ladders that are up in the sky, sort of doing this, like sucking in our atmosphere, trying to clean it up.
Todd, you really got that from your remote viewing.
Yeah, let me pull it up. Let's see where that thing go. I keep everything in Dropbox, so I should share this
Todd,
with people. Yeah. People would like to see this.
Yeah, Todd has infinite number of sketches and files and weird things that he's come up with, whereas I just kind of like to point my chin upwards and look what's going around. And you know, my life, honestly, like I tell Todd, is like a 24/7 LSD trip, but I'm always sober. I don't even drink. So, you know, it's like I look up and I see dragons and dolphins and UFOs and spacecraft. And then, of course, there's the people from Sirius B building these structures in the sky. And there's these – I see – round circular grinding motions, sucking motions, you know, these things that look like, almost reminds me like of a board game, Chutes and Ladders, what the Sirians are doing. But the point of me sharing this with you guys is to let you know that there are, we have help, you know, and I don't want you to look at this as the intergalactic war between good and bad or dark and light, because that's not what's going on here. What's going on is, you know, the Earth is where we live, and we do have a right as humans on Earth to know who's here to help and who's here to hurt. So it's not about good versus bad. It's just about preservation. And in the name of preservation, there are help is here. And there's people like myself who, if we feel like there's a celestial object on the way, we have the power and the know-how to help guide it away from our planet so that our civilization remains safe. So, you know, when people start hearing all the negative and all the terrible things that are they're happening, like the asteroids coming and whatnot, know that there's people that are working behind the scenes to keep everybody safe. So maybe that'll provide a little bit of hope going in here to the break.
Yeah, so yeah, I just pulled it up, and I don't know if we have any time to tell me about this, but maybe we should talk about it when we get back. But there's like this Pac-Man-shaped appendage that has tubes on both ends of it that appears cylindrical, and it's made from some kind of unique alloy that's like metallic, but not. It's like a grown, spongiform, hybridized thing, and it's spinning like in our atmosphere, and it deals with this type of construction process. And what's the other thing here? It's sorting this sort of debris. There's also artificial intelligence that's associated with this too, and it looks weird. I tried to engage it in conversation, but they're not very friendly to talk to. It's hard to really get.
Well, I want to go ahead and disagree with you there. See, Todd's one of these people. He wants to have an encounter so bad. He really does. You know, the guys, the people of Sirius B, they're funny looking. They've got appendages coming out everywhere and eyes misplaced all around their body, and some of them have four legs and some of them have three. But you know. Todd came up with this. He doesn't see this. This comes from his subconscious, and he writes this stuff down, you know, from generating a random 8 number of a location in the –
We'll talk about how to do it later. Yeah.
It's weird
confusing
stuff, guys.
I don't know what I'm remote viewing when I remote view something, but it's like an old technology. I'm still reading that remote viewing session here of the Sirians. It says it's like 3 million like years old, and it's it's weird stuff. Weird stuff.
Well – that one,
there's
that
a hybridization program
like
going on with them too. We'll talk about that probably another show.
Yeah, there's definitely hybridization. I can validate that. I do see this Ferris wheel type of thing spinning in the atmosphere, and it is here to help and clean up and reverse the damage in the atmosphere that the government's doing from the chemtrails. But with that said, I think it's about time we head into our break.
I could talk about the propulsion system too, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, we're going to head into the break, and during the break, we're going to play your preview of next week's show, where we will welcome on Jared Sullivan, a.k.a. Diraj Navilis, who literally has 144,000 followers on Facebook. And, you know, he channels and he talks to lots of different, you know, extraterrestrial species, but he's going to come on and discuss false prophets and some of the and how you can tell a false prophet and what are some of the common false prophets. Especially, we're going to address Lord Ashtar, which, oh my gosh, people, please quit worshiping Lord Ashtar and please quit meditating to Osho. Good God, you guys are killing me out there.
How
but
about
anyway,
the Anunnaki?
Oh, yeah, and Anunnaki's too. Let's go ahead and burst out this preview for next week. It's going to be about 3 minutes long, then we'll be back. All right, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be taking live callers second half of the show if you're interested in calling in.
Join us next Friday at 5:30 Central on Voto Radio as we welcome Jared Sullivan, a.k.a. The Raj Navilas, on the air to discuss false prophets. Guys, this is going to be a good one. I'm going to share with you a small excerpt from Diraj's work. And I quote, I will expose Osho and other false prophets. They know the secret. But exploit the individual. And twist that individual's mind with contradiction and man-god worship. Just because something is alive does not mean that it is deceptive. A liar knows that he is a liar. But one who speaks mere portions of truth in order to deceive is a craftsman of destruction. Honesty, is the first chapter in the book of wisdom. End quote. So next week on Voto Radio, there are Nebula to be joining us live. Taking your call, listener. Expose the lies. Of false prophets such as Osho, Lord Ashtar, and many others. You don't want to want to describe what I'm saying. So tune in to Voto Radio. Next Friday, 10:16. BlogTalkRadio.com/Voto. Voto Radio. Produced by Tracy Lee and Vital Rhyme Healing.
And we're back. Welcome back to the show at Voto Radio. And we're live on the air, Blog Talk Radio. It's our first show, Tracy. Are you super excited about how the show's going so far?
Yeah, we're having a good time. It was definitely a little stressful at first when we had technological issues, but it's nothing new to me because anytime I try to use anything electronic, there's entities that think it's funny to mess with electronic signals and frequencies and all this stuff. So
and there are gremlins in our machines. I was traveling this week for business, and all of a sudden, all my technology just didn't work. It was like I had weird things on my screen. Anyway, I was thinking about it. There was this thing called the Blue Aviary ET species that was being promoted on Facebook by Corey Good something, and I feel that it's my duty to warn our listeners about this duty. Duty, D-O-O-D-Y. Thank you. So the weird thing is I checked the website domain of the registration, and it came from Phoenix, Arizona. And so why is that important? Well, there's another guy out there called Dallas Goldberg of WellAware One, and he's adamant that there's this PSYOPS media operation housed in Arizona that does a lot of digital fakery. It's called Helix Studio Design. So things that are coming out of there always strike me as like kind of suspect. Anyway, this has shades of like Richard Doty and his bullshit Serpo campaign from like the 1980s. It was another UFO ploy. And Dick Doty claimed that only 10% of what he said was worthless. I think that it's closer to 90%. So do you remember the story about David Will Shilcox and Corey Good out there on the Facebook?
I don't know who any of those people are. Like I said, I try to stay as unaffected as possible and purely inherit information from the multidimensional world around me. But I have seen all this talk about the Blue Avian Group, and I've tried to communicate with them and call them in and say, you know, who are you guys? What are you doing? But I talked to Arcturians and they look blue, bluish aura, but the Blue Avians, I tend to think that this is a hoax as well. Sorry, guys.
Kind of bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they're pretty,
they're pretty. It's just a lot of money going into that, I think. And when you see this money sort of campaign, you realize, they might be trying to get me to think something that's not true, because most stories are just from genuine people who have an experience, and they're not trying to sell you anything. So when it's, you know, when it's sprinkled with a cupcake and served with lies, they want you to really, really digest it hard, I think.
And guys, don't forget, right? I mean, the more fear that you have, the more needy you are of things like government and medical insurance and doctors and all of these higher level elite global scams that make the rich richer and the poor poorer and make this great economic divide so that we the people become more needy and then the elite become more elite and gain power. So think about.
I would like to make a prediction.
You go for it, Todd.
Okay, so I think that in the West Indies, a hurricane will kill dozens of thousands of people. It'll flatten Barbados, Martinique, and every boat in the harbor. And over 20,000 people will be dead and another dozens of thousands with famine in 3 years. Those are predictions. They're not really predictions. They just happened because of a hurricane in 1666, 1780, and 1789. So when you say something that's cataclysmic like that, people get scared. But really, these things happen all the time, and we rebuild, we regrow, and we make new changes to our lives.
Right. And so, you know, there's this whole theory that Mother Earth, or Gaia, as some people refer to her, is a living soul and a spirit. And so sometimes she has a fit and she gets upset, so she has a typhoon or a hurricane, or maybe it's somebody pushing the button at Stern. We don't really know. But regardless, you know, if Gaia needs to throw a fit, sometimes she's going to throw a fit and sometimes stuff's going to happen. But regardless, I really do not believe there's some every person who's a spiritualist or a prophet or is able to see into the past, present, future, all these good things. Everybody is we can see certain things, what we're allowed to see. So I don't believe that anybody is truly allowed to see. If there is an end, which I don't believe there is time is an illusion. There's no beginning or no end. But I don't believe that disinformation is just going to be given to one person to where everybody's going to know when the end is coming. It just doesn't make any sense.
I do have some RV data on Gaia that I would like to share with you. It came through during a session that I did for the Farsight Institute. I did six sessions on 9/11. We'll get to that sometime in the future. But moving to the conscious condition of Gaia, she feels afraid, helpless, and broken, yet aware. The unconscious condition, she knows that time will heal, but often feels like a punching bag for abuse. And moving into the deep mind awareness of Gaia, there is a steadfast, deep awareness of time. When I cued on what Gaia's optimum treatment was, there was a hope that there a flea spray would come from the heavens like a filtration, removing all of the abscesses on her exterior. Where are the abscesses?
Yes. Well, that's one way to look at it. So you think that Gaia views us as abscesses on her exterior?
That's
what you're saying.
That's what came through.
Interesting. I don't speak to Gaia herself. That's not one of the things I spend my time on. I like to focus on healing and helping people rid themselves of sickness and whatnot. I leave the channeling and remote viewing to other people, like deraging yourself. But I can tell you guys, though, because we were touching earlier on different ET species and who's here, like the Blue Avians. And another species that's spreading a lot of this, and I know this might make me a little unpopular, guys, but be careful when you talk to things that identify themselves as Nordics or Pleiadians. Because like we're saying about the Blue Avians, if they are, if they look too pretty to be true, they probably are.
That's a conditioner. Their hair is terrible. They need to go to a barber. They're just, they're unkempt, aren't they?
Well, you know, I because of this reason, you know, I don't talk to the real Pleiadians or, but here's what I've seen. I've seen a UFO spacecraft land in an open field in Austin, Texas, and it looked like the entire Ashtar command crew offboarding. And I was like, wow, this is at this time, this is before I had all of this stuff figured out. I said, wow, it's Ashtar command. I'm so special. Like Lord of Ashtar came to see me in person. But then as I stayed there and watched, I saw as they're walking to the distance, them shape shift into reptile shapes or reptilians. So, you know, these things play tricks. They're deceptive. So a lot of people say, oh, I'm a star goddess Pleiadian. Like, I'm from Pleiades. This is like, so, you know, I'm so beautiful. These people are so beautiful because, yes, people on Earth associate with physicality and physical beauty. So, of course, something that wants your loyalty and something that wants you to worship it is going to present itself as something that's aesthetically appealing to you. So just be careful if something is too beautiful to be true, then it probably is.
They landed here in Austin?
They land here all the time.
I need to get out more. I'm not seeing any of these things. See, that would be crazy to see.
Yeah, I'm used to it at this point, Todd. You know, they're all over the place. They're in the ocean. They're in the underground cave system.
They are in the ocean. I have some data on that. We've done sessions and show like they. So they live under the ocean, which sounds crazy, and yet they can see like a sky. It's like a hologram sky, but it's like a domed enclosure underneath our ocean.
Yes, it's like a world within the ocean type of thing. That's exactly right. And when I look at their world, what it looks like, it actually looks like a spinning hamster ball that moves around underneath the ocean. A huge spinning hamster ball, but a hamster ball. And I used to see this hamster ball all the time. A DVD player in my brain. I always said, what is that thing? And I finally figured out what it was. But yeah, people don't know.
So it's not stationary. You're saying that it's moving around in different spots. It's sort of like it's rotating underneath the ocean.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it moves.
That's wild.
Moves like a hamster. Like, you know, a hamster that gets you get all and kind of thing with the thing under the ocean.
So is it? That's. Do we know who's inhabited underneath the sea? What people live under the sea? What they're doing? Like the Nomo people?
Yeah. So again, I would give the analogy that it's just like driving down the highway. You know, there's some species that are recognizable. You know, like a BMW or a Jaguar, and some that I just don't even know what they are. I mean, I know that there's species of reptilians that live underneath the ocean, and some of those names that you've used, but the main ones that I enjoy communicating with are the Arcturians and the Sirius B. And I try to keep my community of ETs that I actually interact with very small, just like my you know, my circle of friends, because you know I don't trust many people, I don't trust many ET groups, you know. So I stick with what I know, and I'm aware of what's around, but I would be lying if I said I knew what all of it was. It's just impossible.
So these are the kind of things. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
The one thing you were going to say, and I interrupted you.
Oh, yeah. Well, the one thing I am going to say that we haven't touched on yet is Nibiru and all these people that kept on saying that Nibiru was going to crash into Earth and this was going to be our cataclysmic fate, was this collision with a celestial object full of the, you know, the Anunnaki species that a while ago created us, and now they're pissed off and they're on this floating celestial object that's on a imminent crash course with our planet. So so what people are doing is they're taking photographs of the sun, and I've taken these photographs too, and they see these spots underneath the sun and they say, oh my gosh, Nibiru is getting closer. But I don't believe that's what those spots under the sun are. I don't think it's Nibiru, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, if we can uncouple people's identity and people's sort of bloodthirst for Sitchin and his crazy lunatic ideas. He did some good things. I think I read like 12 of his 18 books, but I got bored after that.
I read two sentences of that guy. I said, that's it. Guys, please stop buying that guy's books. Oh my gosh. Zachariah, right, Sitchin?
Rest in peace, Zachariah.
Yes.
Thank
yeah.
you for the craziness.
Guys, quit buying that stuff, guys. Quit feeding his wealth and his pocketbook and his income. It's all lies. Lies.
He's not here.
Lies.
He's not with us anymore. He's passed.
No, I mean, I'm talking about the people that are buying him, his descendants that are still profiting off of
They probably are. I think he's released 7 books since he died, probably on Nibiru. So I just want to divorce and uncouple people's ideas and concepts about Nibiru. And I can tell you, here's something else. So we're going to talk about really strange things here on this show, just to give you an idea of some of the things that are real. There are lots of hollowed-out asteroids that are right here in our own solar system that are being used by ET species because there's millions of them out there. And the new gold rush, probably in the next 10 or 15 years, is going to be people that want to harness the asteroids that are out there and bring them back for resources. There's even a website, Tracy, I think, that tells you, names different asteroids and tells you what it would be worth in U.S. dollars if you were to capture it and mine it.
Can we use Bruce Willis for that too?
He's probably involved with that project. He's probably going to blow some up and bring them down, lasso them and bring them back down to Earth.
Yeah, so there'd have to be Bruce Willis, and then we can call Bill Pullman, you know, and we can have an Independence Day speech. And that's another thing, you know, all of these apocalyptic movies like Independence Day and Armageddon.
Jason Bourne may get trapped on an asteroid. We may have to send someone up there to get him back.
Goodness gracious, guys, you know, these movies where the entire world rallies together, you know, and humanity bonds as one to fight against the extraterrestrial invasions and to blow up the asteroid in space before it gets here. You know, this is all, you know, it makes you feel good when humanity survives, but it's also fear-mongering because, you know, once that great feeling wears off of, now we're all safe, you start thinking in the back of your head, well, what if it really does happen? What if it's coming? When is it coming? What does that mean
for
me?
Well, I want to curb these ideas about the whole extraterrestrial galaxy world and just sort of reel it back into our concept of the no-pocalypse and sort of bring people the idea that there is not something that is going to hurt you. You're safe. Believe that you are safe. Know that you are safe and feel that loving energy around you. Is there a way that people could do that, like feel like a meditation or anything, just to give themselves balance and comfort when they're in a situation where it feels that there's negativity around them?
Absolutely. There's so many different meditations you can look up online and Google, but one that I've created for myself, and I like to create everything for myself, as you know, is when I start to feel kind of negative or anxious, I'll usually lay down on my back, and I picture that my heart is in my chest and that it illuminates this, like, neon green color, and then I picture that this neon green color fills my entire body, and then my heart starts to beat really strong and hard, and my entire body turns neon green. And then after a few minutes, I picture that this neon green is extending, you know, 3 or 4 feet beyond my body. And then after 15 minutes, I can picture that this neon green loving healing energy is extending like throughout my entire house. And then within 30 minutes into the meditation, you know, like all of Austin, Texas is lit up green. And so everybody's all cool with that. So you're welcome, guys, in the great ATX. But that's how I like to meditate.
I felt that when you did that. When you said that, I literally felt like tingling in my body. And it went through my head and my back and everything got like lit up. And I felt almost like I levitated off the ground. Gravity got a little light right here.
I changed gravity? That's impossible. Oh, wait,
it just feels like it got a little lighter when you were talking. I hope people got to examine that and experience that out there listening to us.
I hope they did too. And you know, it looks like for today's show, we haven't had any callers yet. I know people are shy and we're brand new.
Oh, people can call in right to the show, right?
Right.
We forgot to tell them they could call in.
Well, yeah, and they should be calling in. Hopefully, there's a call-in number, and that number is 646-716-8099. So one more time, it's 646-716-8099. And it's the first night. I know people might be a little shy. Maybe next week, you know, Jared's followers will call in to speak to Jared. This will be an interesting show, guys, when Jared comes on.
I'm sorry. Who?
Who? What?
Jared? Daraj.
It's
Daraj.
Right. Well,
it's all about reversing.
He does. He calls himself Daraj. Daraj Navilis.
And hopefully one of his 144,000 followers on Facebook will call in because that is a huge following that he has.
So if you're one of the chosen 144,000 star seeds that's going to ascend into the sixth dimension magically when the apocalypse happens and your soul will be saved, like that does not include you.
I would like to talk to them. I would like to see what they think and sort of maybe uncouple whatever is sort of making them believe this paranoid delusion.
About the 144,000?
Yeah. If they think they're a starseed and that they're chosen.
Yeah, so the whole idea of the 144,000 chosen came from this idea of Lord Ashtar. And so now people have begun to replace this idea of Jesus with an alien Jesus that looks just like Jesus, by the way. And they're calling him Lord Ashtar or Sananda. You know, the great Sananda has chosen 144,000. Sananda, yeah, he's chosen 144,000 star seeds on planet Earth. And when basically the idea is when shit hits the fan, like those souls will be saved and everybody else's like soul will perish. So
is there a mailing list or like a group we could talk to these 144,000 people that think? I think that's sort of just this whole, again, it feeds into the mass insanity. It feeds into this idea of, hey, I'm chosen, I'm special, I'm part of this, because people are always looking sort of externally for validation in themselves. They don't really look within and see what their own true self is thinking.
Right. So this is the message of our show, guys, is to look within and to listen to the message within yourself. Voids that you have from emotional instability or problems or trauma that you've experienced, try to fill those voids with love, with friendship, with fun, with companionship, and try to live in the moment. And that way we all start letting out a love energy and a calming energy. And eventually these artificial intelligences that have been drawn here by the energetic beacons that are caused by, like we talked about, fear, anxiety, and hate and resentment, they'll eventually just go away on their own if everybody just chills the hell out, basically. So take a chill pill, guys.
So there's a lot more we could talk about on this show. Let's maybe talk about what's coming up in future shows. Some of the things that I can do are, I guess we didn't really tell people exactly what I do or what you do. So I am a remote viewer, and I've been trained at this probably, for a really long time. I was trained by one of the best people that do remote viewing training and sort of evolved from that. So separate from doing the remote viewing stuff, and I teach classes on that too, but what I can do is I have this ability to communicate with these extraterrestrial entities in my head, and I think that we should probably focus on teaching people how to do this for themselves too, maybe in future shows, so that they can understand that they're part of a larger community, that there's not just 144,000 people out there, but hundreds of trillions of people out there that are just like them.
Absolutely. And another thing that we'll be doing, and so the show is called Voices of the Omniverse. And so the idea is to let different voices be heard, and that includes celestial friends and foes. So friendly extraterrestrials, we'll welcome on people who channel reptilian species and some of the things that they have to say. Some of the reptilian species have claimed to ascended and matured and grown empathy, which I'll believe that when I see it. But we'll also welcome on guests who will be communicating with people who have passed and hear different theories about, how it is that our relatives come to communicate with us. And are these really the energies of our relatives communicating with us? How do we know who it really is? Or are they extraterrestrials kind of masking themselves as our relatives? Or is it a combination of both? So that's another issue we're going to discuss in future shows. But for next week, guys, like we talked about, we're going to be dealing with false prophets. If that's something that you'd like to weigh in on, I would urge you to contact us at voicesoftheomniverse@gmail.com or find us on Facebook and drop us a message. We'd love to hear what you thought of our first show. It's a work in the making, definitely, and hope to improve and grow our listening audience as weeks go by. But we're definitely excited with the type of information that we're ready to share here. And as I stated at the beginning of the show, there will be no half-truths. Everything will be put out in the open as we know or perceive it, with no holds barred.
Yeah, I want to give people an opportunity that really don't get a chance to talk on other radio shows, the opportunity to explain what they're all about and why they think that, and give them a platform to let people learn about them. I know that people think that it's hard to do, but the more people that you tell about yourself, I think the more people resonate with you, and it gives you more confidence.
Right, and I would agree with that. I think that there's a lot of great talent out there on social media that are making posts and are spending a lot of time, hidden behind a computer, that their voices need to be heard. There's people with so many different gifts and talents and connections spiritually and multidimensionally. And it's not always the case, guys, that the person who with the most notoriety and the most money has the greatest amount of talent. So part of my mission in starting the show is to expose some of that talent and to share it with you guys, the listeners and the public, and give some people without the know-how of how to start a radio show or market themselves or start a business, give them kind of a platform and an opportunity, you know, to share their message as well. So that's really what this is all about. Todd, this has been fun, you know.
I have enjoyed our time together. I wish we could do this every week. Wait, we are going to do this every week. That's awesome.
We are going to do it every week. And like I said, guys, if you have something you'd like to contribute or a show idea or you'd like to call in, we're really easy to get a hold of. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio. I think we can go ahead and start the outro now, get people pumped up about next week. But
I think people are really excited about next week, and I really appreciate everybody tuning in for the show this week. We look forward to seeing you next week. Remember, every Friday, it's Voto Radio.
Voto Radio. So every week while the outro plays, Todd and I will take a few minutes to say a few things about ourselves. I just love this mix, Steve Miller Band. So I'm a psychic surgeon and distance healer, Tracy Lee, guys. Name of my business is Data Line Healing. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/datalinehealing or www.datalinehealing.com. Psychic surgeon and distant healing, I will treat any condition from any space, anywhere around the world, guys. Actually, this February, I'll be traveling to Tokyo to teach and talk about what I do and heal people. So look forward to hearing from you guys about that. Todd, go ahead and pull the plug on the Remote View at Sight.
Yeah, so what I do is I'm a remote viewer, and I've got a remote viewing website called remoteviewit.com. I train people there. I do sessions for people. I do medical sessions for people. So if medical establishment can't find out what's wrong with you, we can do that. We can find anything on Earth. That's another talent that we have. So if you're missing something or would like to find it, contact us. We can do that for you. But I think the most exciting thing is I want to train people in how to do remote viewing and learn to listen to their own unconscious mind so that they can get these things done for themselves. Don't have to rely on somebody else. We want to empower people. But again, my name's Todd Ronan. You can email me at oronan@gmail.com or check out the website, remoteviewit.com.
It's ohronan@gmail.com, not just the letter O, right, Todd?
That's right. Oh, I said O exclamatorily.
Yes. And the other thing we're available, guys, if you'd like to have either Todd or myself, if you come and speak, make public appearances, webinars, seminars, trainings, any, all that good stuff, yeah, we'd love to come to you and share our message and, you know, share my 5D goggles and Todd's remote viewing. And even maybe, who knows, someday one of us, a pair, will come visit you guys in your city.
That would be very awesome.
It would be totally awesome. Next week, we'll have our production a little bit more in line, and the mixes will be done by DJ Chris Vieira, who's going to be mixing some of our intro, outro, previews and stuff, so the audio levels and the balance should be a lot better. But we appreciate you bearing with us for this first episode, historic broadcast of Voto Radio.
Voto Radio!
I think that's us signing off for the night. Voices of the Omniverse, guys. Thank y'all for tuning in, for listening, and we look forward to continuing this relationship.
Of a drill instructor directing a musical.
Tail
run hot? Get those tap heels in line and let me see those jazz hands! Are you bundling your home and auto insurance through Progressive? Can you hear me through those sequins?
Bundle your home and auto through Progressive and save.
Left, 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 and step ball change.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company Affiliates. Home insurance provided and serviced by other select insurers.